If you turn with me to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, to chapter 31 and to verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Perhaps a good way to think about everlasting is to think about our own lives. I was born in 1935, and as far as I'm concerned, 1934 never existed. But I can remember things out of most of the years that have happened since. And like many of you, I have lived in, but not through, four reigns. And when you think back, it seems a long, long time. When you're not well, it seems a long, long time. I'm just trying to get you to have some grasp on everlasting. We know that everlasting is from the very beginning, whenever that was, going back and back and back in eternity past. And everlasting is forever into the future. But it's not so easy to always get hold of that. And the verse I'm talking about today is a verse which gives us great assurance of our faith, and the fact that so many do not have an assurance of their faith suggests that everlasting doesn't have a content to them. When the disciples, you remember, were so pleased because they'd seen many people healed of evil spirits and other things, and they were pleased, rightly. But Jesus gently said to them, you remember, don't rejoice that you can heal the sick and that devils go, but that your names are written in the book of life. And the significance of what he said was this. You were able with my help to heal the sick. It'd be very easy to forget that with my help, that all the things that you can do, you are able to do. But you know there was one thing at least that you knew nothing about. You didn't know that your name was being written in the book of life. You didn't know when I did it. And the great thing about that is, of course, we had nothing to do with it. So that if we know the love of the Lord God, and if we know that he loves us, it didn't begin with us loving God. It began because he first loved us. And that is an enormous thing to grasp hold of. That the Lord God, before we were born, before the world was made, had you in mind, had me in mind, had every believer in Christ in mind. But not just a mental thing. He loved each one with everlasting love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Things happen to us in life. Other Christians may be unkind to us, or it may be that people are unkind, or at work, or at school, or those of our own age. But where it matters most, we are loved by the living God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, who raises people from the dead. We are loved to be with him forever, and we've always been loved, and we always will be loved. We matter. we don't consider ourselves, and we shouldn't, above what we are. And even what we are is because the Lord has given us, we're nobodies. But when God loves us, we're somebody. And it's a most wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus said, I have loved you, that's his disciples, as the Father hath loved me. Again, to encourage our hearts, to encourage our affections, we need to think about that. How did the Father love the Lord Jesus? Could there be anything that he failed to commit towards his dear Son? Will he not do the same with us? Think about being loved by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, with an everlasting love. As a result of that, the Lord has done something wonderful. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Now, it's not draw, obviously, in the sense of writing and pictures and things. It's the other sense of draw. Isaiah has a very literal picture, which I'll just mention in passing. He says, you sinned, as it were, with a cart rope. When I was a boy evacuated in the war, I used to haul with the tractors I learned to drive the hayload behind me with a cart rope. In other words, it pulled quite heavy loads, and the rope was strong. And the picture in Isaiah is that our sin pulls with it every other way we can sin. Now we think of something nice. The Father says, and it's true of his Son, I have drawn thee. Not with a literal caro, but in the other sense. Now you all know what I mean, I think. If I say to you, you feel drawn to somebody. You feel drawn to a career or to something or to somebody. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Do you know how it happens? Do you know how it starts? Where does it begin? Where does it start? It's a mystery, isn't it? That you feel drawn to somebody. The Lord draws us to himself. It's the most wonderful thing. That because he draws us, we are drawn back to him. I've told you this before, but I've never forgotten it. I suppose I was 8, I'm not quite sure. But I walked round the block in the next road I was probably, was by myself. And there was a little kitten. And he couldn't have been very old, he could see obviously, but it was still a tiny little kitten. And I'd crept up quietly. He was just looking at me with those pointed ears that kittens have. And I just simply said, puss, 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 puss. And gradually he moved his head towards me. And then he took a step. I didn't move. And then a little more. What would he be thinking? Can I trust this huge creature, I can say? Is it all right? Is he going to eat me? Is he going to be like all the other things that are against me? He actually did come up to me, but didn't stay long. And when we are drawn by the living God, then we know that we're not going to be eaten up, swallowed up, treated as dirt, treated as something that's done wrong, which we have, but we're going to be loved, going to be accepted, going to be valued. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, have I drawn thee? So the Father, through Christ, draws his people to himself. As I said, it's a wonderful thing. When you feel drawn to things, you don't know how it starts. And it's likely that when you first become drawn to God, you don't know what's going on. You read the scriptures. You've heard other people give testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you read the Gospels, perhaps you feel drawn to this Savior who could do so, did do so many things. And you know he's the same. How could he do that for you? But you're drawn. How it begins, how it happens, is a mystery. But that he draws his people. And those of you who know you belong to him will be able to think of this being drawn. It is a most wonderful thing. The principal thing of drawing a cart is a tractor or a horse in the old days. The principal thing that the Lord God uses to draw his own to himself is loving kindness. Loving kindness. There's too little of it in the world. The world may not know how we feel so trusting in the whole of eternity and are not afraid, but we have a source of love, a dynamic source within us that nobody else has who doesn't know the Lord Jesus. And it's a wonder to them. It's a wonder to us. But the Lord draws us with loving kindness. You can treat that word both ways round. It's kindness expressed with love, or it's love expressed in a kindly way. You can play about with that word and really enjoy the thoughts. Loving kindness. Everybody loves kindness. Even those who've not had much in life and would say they didn't care about anything, actually deep down, kindness is just something that would just vaguely touch them and reach through to them. Kindness we appreciate. And the Lord, when he draws us to himself, does it in kindness. He shows himself to be kindly. The all-powerful creator, the sustainer of the world, speaks kindly to our hearts, welcomes us, draws us. And that kindness is an expression of his love, of his devotion to his people. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Prophets often have two great significances in their preaching. And this was said to the nation. But of course, a nation is made up of individuals. And the true nation of Israel are the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're quite at liberty to apply this to our experience of coming to the Lord and to our experience of being with him. Father says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That love that I have, how can I put it across to you? That love, I'll do it through kindness. I'll reach you not through law, but through gospel grace. But the question then comes, all right, this is a wonderful thing. But how do I know it belongs to me? How do I know I've been loved? How do I know I've been owned? Perhaps I might feel I love, and it's all feelings, all psychological. Perhaps I might be deceiving myself to think it would be nice to be loved and then to believe that I am, when there's no foundation for it. How do I know it for sure? And it's the same chapter in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, 31 and onwards, that tells us what draws a person to the Lord God in love is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord draws us, loving kindness, wonderfully, but he draws us to the Lord Jesus by the hearing of the gospel. It is our faith that we place in the Lord Jesus Christ that is the evidence to us that we are loved with an everlasting love and that we've been drawn with everlasting loving kindness. The gospel is preached. The gospel is about his dear son. The gospel is about his son who made atonement for the sins of all his people. How do I know it's mine? By believing it. And if I believe it and know that it's mine, then I may know that these words, that I have loved thee with an everlasting love and therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee, is ours. It's two of us. It's not an exaggeration. It's not something that we can look at other people who are better than we are and say, well, they have it, but I don't have it. We have it. For the least of the low, the less educated, the less wealthy. But this love, if I believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, has genuinely come across to me. What I felt when I heard the gospel preached, what I thought when I read the Bible, these things are coming true. These thoughts are crystallizing. They're fixing my heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jeremiah 31, 31 and through to verse 34 tells how this begins. Romans 8 is a commentary on Jeremiah 31 and just reminds us that it's the Lord Jesus that brings the New Testament. He is the author of a new and living way to the Lord God. Now there are four things in Jeremiah 31 to 34 that are crucial marks of a believer and of faith. And you start with the last because it builds up to conclusion. I was always quite naughty in the days when I was young. They didn't have a supplement for sports. Sports was always on the back page. I always started the paper reading on the back page and working through to the important news on the front, last of all. That was how I did it. Well, here is an example of something that you actually do best to begin at the end. So at the end of Jeremiah 31, verse 34, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. And this is the great gift of the Lord in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we hear it and when we respond to it and when we love it, and when we welcome it, when we repent of our sins as a result of it, the Lord says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. That's stage one of understanding and knowing that you're loved with an everlasting love and you've been called with loving kindness. When you believe the gospel when you come to Christ, when you know your sins are forgiven because you've repented of them in response to the gospel, the answer to faith in his dear son, the Lord says, I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. I expect some of you have had the experience at school, master teacher saying to you, I often had it actually, I'll let you off this time. I had lots of times. I'll let you off this time. Now, let's be a bit more serious than that. The Lord says, no man shall say to another, you ought to get to know the Lord. For all believers will know the Lord. They shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. If you like, from the youngest to the oldest, from the least significant and least educated to the most significant and educated. But they will all know me. They don't need to be taught to get to know the Lord. How? Because their sins have been forgiven. They've actually come to the Lord. And a bit like the teacher who says, I'll let you off this time, doesn't actually do that. He really forgives sins through the work of his dear son. But the gratitude, the relief that we have through having forgiveness of sins is something we never forget. It changes us. It took a lot to change you when I was a schoolboy, but it did. When the Lord preached the gospel to me, I began to change. So it all begins that we know that we genuinely are loved by the Lord when we believe the gospel and we're forgiven for our sins in Christ. And that is the way by which the Father adopts us into his family, so that we may say, I know the Lord. It's an actual act of pardon. It's a personal thing. We know the Lord is pardoning us, and we've confessed our sins and asked him to take every sin into consideration. But he did it, and he did it personally, and we knew it was between us and him, personally, individually, intimately. So nobody needs to teach us. You must know the Lord. We do know him. It's not true that anybody knows the Lord better than anybody else. John and Peter were different as disciples of the Lord. And in their human nature, and Christ in his human nature, there were things that particularly attracted him, if you like, to Peter, and things that particularly attracted him to John, and doubtless to all the other disciples. Well, I can't put that into proper words, really. But doesn't matter if we're the richest, the poorest, the most educated, the least educated. We are drawn to the Father by our faith in the blood of Christ to atone for our sins. So the second means, part of the gospel, the new covenant instead of the old, is that the Lord says, I will forgive your iniquity, and therefore with loving kindness I've drawn thee. And in being forgiven, the Father has drawn you to himself. You know him, you meet him, you've had that transaction with him personally. Nobody can take that away from you. You know the Lord. You may not know him as intimately as you would like, as Peter didn't know the Lord in exactly the same way as John, but knew him as closely. So there are lots of other different believers, each with their different attractions, if you like. But we all belong. We're all family. And at the end of verse 33, the Lord says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Great battles are fought between nations and the people who belong to those nations. One nation feels threatened, like the last war in this country, then they will fight those who threaten and get allies if they can. But we're the people of God. Nobody can take that away from us. It doesn't matter whether they put us in prison, it doesn't matter what they do, but they cannot take. We belong to God. In this world, we may be British or we may be any other nation, but our first and foremost, not allegiance, I didn't want to put it like that, but we actually, above all, belong to the living God. Not to any nation or king, but to the nation of those whom the Lord has loved. And he says, I will be your God. I am your Lord. I am your king. I am your savior. I am your teacher. And you are mine. I've taught you. I've reigned over you. I've guided you. I've ruled you. And I will put my law in their inward parts. I will put my law in their inward parts. You are drawn or do, not naturally, but spiritually, those things that please him. Your interest is not now what other people think or what other people want you to do, but what the Lord Jesus would like you to be or do or think. Not the Old Testament law, which can be broken in spirit by a lack of love, lack of patience, a lack of kindness, but the loving kindness law. You remember the law was comprised in these two things. Thou shalt love God with all thy heart and love thy neighbour as thyself. The law is love when properly done. Now let me read from verse 31. I'll read it through the right way. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant, that's a New Testament, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It's made in Christ, Hebrews 8. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which by covenant they break. So there's got to be a new one, a new people, a new covenant in Christ. Though I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant, the New Testament, that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord. Now we're doing it in reverse. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest, saith the Lord. Why? All these things? For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. How do I know? Because I've been forgiven. How am I forgiven? Because I trust the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have known, if only a beginning of that mysterious drawing towards the Saviour and by him to the Father. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. We know, or are beginning to understand, or are about to yield to the Saviour, and our sins are forgiven. And we know the Lord, and we're loved by the Lord. We belong to the Lord. And his laws are written in our heart. So we know that we are loved with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, we have been drawn. Finally, I can't tell you how, as a lad of 16, coming from a single parent family, feeling a little bit that the world was against me, but not everything was bad, to discover this gospel, to see that even when I went to church for the first time, witnessed to by my friends, that even that, the Lord had drawn them to draw me, as it were. And then when I went to the church, the Lord began another process of the drawing. Didn't know till I looked back on it. But I can't tell you, but what an enormous impact. What an enormous encouragement, isn't the word. What an enormous change. What an enormous sense of mattering I had. Because the Lord said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's what you've been feeling. That's what you've been experiencing. That's what you've been beginning as you've yielded your heart to me. And it was I who brought you to that place. May each one of us, and may there be many who do not yet believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but are beginning to feel drawn, yield to that drawing. Think about your sins. Think about the only way they can be pardoned. Think about who can pardon them and how you may know him by that pardon. Think of all these things. But it is a wonderful thing to have experienced over many years, if we live that long, and forever, that we've been loved with an everlasting love and with loving kindness, therefore, God the Father, through his Son, has drawn us to himself. Amen.